And if somebody wants to come in and say,
did you have a comment, sir?
No, no.
Okay, well then we'll just go with the continuance starting first.
Skip over more if you want to, Sue, whatever you want to do. It's going to be you and Cam and the person. I just turned out 5 packets.
Well, you guys go to bare bones.
We got two commissioners on the Zoom.
And the city planner.
Oh. Wow, it's a Zoom meeting.
There's a sign-in sheet and agenda paper.
Thank you.
We get started. Do you have public comment tonight?
I was going to wait till after the discussion, if you don't mind.
No, I think that's great. I just want to make you wait.
I read through the the packet, and 95% of it I agreed with, so
great.
So I'm good to go.
Well, then we'll start. We'll call to order and have a roll call.
Moore here.
Lynn, I see you there. You here?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. And Shay?
Corrigan here.
All right. Very good. Well, we've got Sue Richardson and I are here in the hall, and we've got a quorum. There's four of us. Tom called and said, or John rather called and said he couldn't make it. He had an emergency, so we're missing him tonight. We are going to do the continuance of public hearing, electronic message center signs. And without further ado, unless somebody wants to wave their hand in objection, I'm going to turn over to Walt to do the staff report. All right, go, Walt.
Okay, can everyone hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So then my internet went out again, so I'm working off of a phone. So if things are sounding funny, just let me know. I'll see what I can do from this end. So I think we're pretty much aware of the background of this particular project. I did prepare a new staff report for today's meeting that offered the background information. I just particularly want to note that there are three attachments. Attachment A is the current proposal before the commission, and B is the original proposal. And I also threw in attachment C, which is the Dundee language, which you saw last meeting. Speaking of April, there was a lot of discussion regarding these signs, and there was a lot of comments for me to consider in terms of crafting some new language. There was discussion about limiting the hours of operation, increasing distances to residential zones, having some sort of illumination threshold, maybe allowing a public review of the sign, possibly limiting the location of the signs and ensuring there is ODOT review. And a couple of other things occurred, though, as I went through this material. We did not have a definition for electronic message signs, so I thought would be appropriate. The other thing, too, is that it is my understanding to review the existing sign, the city paid a professional to do an assessment. There was little discussion, though, overall, whether or not the city is prepared to do the necessary training or purchase the appropriate equipment for the sign regulations. So I incorporated that within the proposed language. So with that, again, attachment A includes the proposal, and I'll just walk through the material. The first item is there will be a new definition for EMCs that will be in section 10.08, 010, and it simply states a sign that displays words, symbols, figures, or images that can be electronically or mechanically changed by remote or automatic means. Again, this is pretty self-explanatory. I looked at three or four other definitions that other cities have, and this seems to be the cleanest and simplest one to work with. So definitely put the definition in there. The second item had to do with the reader boards. You want to make some changes about advertising, fuel prices, etc. There was no issue not to include that, so I just left that material as is. The heart of the matter is really the new language, item J, and it notes that EMCs would be allowed subject to the following regulations. The first item is that it requires conditional use approval. I think there were a number of views on sign location, distance, and impacts on residential areas. and I could not, given the zoning layout of the community, arrive at any balanced way of looking at that. I always like to have clear and objective standards to make it easier, but I think when all was said and done, requiring a conditional use appeared to be the only reasonable method to address neighboring concerns. I know notice area was also an issue, but I just want to remind the Planning Commission that the notice area for a conditional use is 300 feet. So I think you will be able, within that distance, incorporate affected people or residents who might be affected by the sign. The second item is location, size, and display. If it looks familiar, because it is. I think the Planning Commission did a real good job in terms of looking at reasonable sizes, location, and also maximum sign area. So I did not make any changes on that. I will note, though, for the record, in the Central Business District, these signs are specifically prohibited. So I'm not sure whether that was discussed, but this is not going to be something you're going to see in the Central Business District. With regard to area calculations, I kept that the same. I think it's a very good way of doing it. These signs attract views, but if you're going to have a larger sign, if you're going to have one of these signs, you need to restrict what you have for overall signage. So again, there was no change in the language. So basically, you take the display that you have, the EMC display, let's say it's 10 square feet, it counts as 20 square feet toward your signage total. And again, that was in the current, the original proposal. And I think that was a very good way of handling it. I did not make any changes to static message or alternating message. Frankly, from what I saw in other communities, I think this is a much better way of controlling this. And I think it's a little bit more reasonable. I was looking at some regulations in other communities that the alternating message was down to something like a millisecond in terms of turnover. And it just didn't seem to be workable. The thing I did make an addition to, though, is the area of illumination. That was a big issue in the April meeting, and looking at a lot of different regulations, again, you sort of go through the web and see what's out there. The Dundee one seemed to be workable, and the reason it is workable, I will point your attention to items 7 and 8, in that there has to be an electronic control in the sign to ensure that the signage complies with these requirements. In addition, when there's a sign permit application, there has to be documentation that shows the sign can comply. I use this as sort of a simple way of, in fact, I borrowed not only from Dundee, but also from Beaverton, that this is a simpler, more effective way for the city with limited resources to enforce these requirements without going through a lot of training or buying additional equipment. And in effect, enforcement is done through the building permit process. Item 9 is hours of operation. I think except for public related buildings such as schools, police stations and similar facilities, static and alternating signs are limited to business hours of operation plus 1 hour before and one after said business hours of operation. It seems reasonable to me that if someone is opening their business, they're going to turn the lights on a bit earlier. And if they're finishing up at the end of the day, they may be staying late. So adding that hour before and hour after did not seem to be a bad way of doing it. Also note that this restriction would not apply to public buildings. I think these message signs have the potential to be a message board for emergency situations. And I think it's reasonable that they be allowed to be active 24/7. By the same token, there's nothing prohibiting, say, a city hall or police station or whatever, to shut down the sign after a certain time. And finally, state highway requirements. Although it's noted elsewhere within your sign code, I think it's important to emphasize that these signs need to be signed off by ODOT before they can be approved. Just some wrap-up comments. I think the original language was actually pretty logical in terms of location and size. I think the issue, bigger issues, were compatibility and how the best way to address this. And I'm thinking the conditional use process is probably the most appropriate. At least it gives the community an opportunity to work together, to meet, and make a determination on whether or not the proposed sign is suitable for its location, and not only that, for its size as well. Also, we now have illumination guidelines, and these can be enforced through the building permit process. I just have one final note on the fire district sign. Again, I'm not sure it's within our purview to correct a error that I think may need to be addressed by council. I will simply note for the record that this will go to council, and they are welcome to make any modifications at that point to address the fire district sign. And one final note, I've been writing findings on this for the last two meetings. I did not include them here. There's nothing substantive in the way of a change that would alter those findings. This is really a urban issue related to design and does not involve any statewide land use goals. So with that, it is certainly my recommendation that the Planning Commission approve this, but as always, we're looking at a public venue, and I'm here to answer any questions you may have with regard to the suggestions.
Thank you all. I'd like to go through each of the commissioners and see if you have any questions or comments. So, Sue, can I start with you? Do you have anything to bring up?
Well, I'm seeing that the 6B addresses the dimming and shut off capabilities, but it doesn't have to be. It says, according to ambient light conditions, but does it have to be more specific to make sure that we're not cutting anybody off or allowing anybody to have more than they're capable of, if there's no definite numbers, or because I don't know anything about these kind of things.
Actually, what that does, for example, if you have a foggy day out there, or it's a little dark, overcast, you basically have a sensor that goes through the computer that says, you know, it is a little dark and we could add just a little bit more light, but if it's a very bright day, then that it also takes it into account. Consider it an automatic rheostat. It makes the adjustments given the outside conditions. But ultimately, during the day, the sign will be a little brighter because it's bright out. But at night, the sign will be dimmer. It's still visible, obviously, but will be dimmer in terms of illumination because the darkness allows that sign to shine through. But those sensors are there to make sure there is a balance between the outside, if you will, and also make sure the lighting doesn't go, you know, too bright or too dark, too dim.
Okay, and I have one more question. You're talking about the reader board signs in the business district, does that include, I don't know how far that goes, does that include where the schools are?
Hold on, ma'am. I have a barking dog issue. Can you please hold for a second? I'll be right back with you.
I understand.
Are you asking something about zoning?
Yes. Okay. So
where
does
the business district start now?
Yeah.
Let me see if I can.
Because I still think that the schools are going to end up with that kind of an option.
With what kind of an option?
Wanting to have a sign that would say, you know,
they have one.
Yeah, but that's not the board that will change. Okay.
I've got the map with the business district if anybody wanted to hear where that is.
Sure.
I was going to bring it up and put it on.
Oh, you have it, Sharon? Okay, cool. No, you go.
Hang on just
while she's doing that, remind me how being in and out of the business district, how does this ordinance apply to whether you're in it or out of it? I don't know the difference.
Yeah, because that means that like Teeny couldn't do it.
No, I don't know whether this, I don't know how this delineates a difference. This ordinance delineates a difference between whether you're in the business or out of it, district or out of it.
Does it talk about maybe in the previous
sign? I think I missed it.
Might have been in the previous sign code. Let me just.
Walt, are you back?
Yeah, I may have to be shut off again. No, within your central business district, according to the code material that I have, it specifically says electronic message signs are prohibited. In fact, there's a short list of prohibited signs, and one of them is electronic message. I did a word search to make sure that we covered everything, and I just want to make that note that this is no change. It's in the current code, and this focuses on other zones. In fact, if you note under item 2, their location, size, et cetera, it just talks general commercial and public facility. It does not address the central business district, which I think is C1. So I just want to make sure that distinction is made. I'm not changing anything in the central business district.
So I'm confused. All this
hold on.
These allowances that we're making for electronic message centers. He's gone again.
Yeah, he's gone.
Maybe somebody else can answer. These allowances, this new ordinance, which will allow electronic message centers, will not end up inside the business district. These signs that we're allowing will not be in the.
No. They will not be in. I'm sorry for interrupting. I'm trying to speak when I can here. They will not be allowed. We're not changing anything in the central business district. They're already prohibited, just like they're prohibited within residential zones. So
where would they go?
Well, you have a C3 zone, which is a commercial zone. You have light industrial, which is a new zone, and also employment. And you also have public facility. So we're looking is that they would be allowed, but they've never been allowed, to my knowledge, in the central business district.
Is that true in Dundee?
Where is the? Oh, you're bringing up the map. Good.
Yeah.
Is that the same thing in Dundee, Walt?
I can't say for certain. I'm not familiar with the zoning in Dundee, and I don't recall. Let me look under. I mean, they could have it as, you know, elsewhere within their code. They don't have it allowed. It just says.
What's the pink area?
Usable copy is used. It may be allowed in a variety. In fact, it doesn't say where. It just talks about how the sign will be organized in terms of, height restrictions or whatever else, illumination. but there's no specifics as to location. I would have to do a little investigation on that. I just don't have the information in front of me.
All right. Well, Sharon has brought up this map. It's very helpful.
Okay.
I see the pink there looks like our central business district. Sharon, can you put your cursor around that?
And then it's got the Shell.
Yeah, I was going to point that out. Don't lose the Shell station there, Sharon, up above.
Let me go ahead and just make sure that they are
trying to get full screen. There's a little square there above science. You might hit, might make it bigger. Oh, well, can you just drag it back down so we see Shell?
What about using that plus and minus? And just making it a trace smaller.
Okay, so these signs would be allowed in the green and the blue? What's that purple?
That's your new industrial zone.
Well, the purple is the industrial, thank you. And the, yeah. The blue, what's the blue?
R3, two-family residential.
Okay, so not there. And then the green?
Green is R1, single-family residential.
So not there. So the only place this ordinance applies is that purple?
General commercial, the pink?
No.
Not general commercial?
Where's the sense? Well, there's nothing there in this business district.
You've got general commercial and residential limited purple.
Okay. So while we don't have something called a central business district, we have general commercial.
We've got that.
Well, got that. I do have your code. Let me have a gander here because I do recall specifically saying it does not apply in that zone, but I don't think you have it as a zone per se. I think you've identified it as a district served within a commercial area. So let me get that information up. And I want to humbly apologize for the dog excitement there. My wife had just arrived home and they're her dogs and they love her dearly. And so I'll just let that be there. Okay, here we go.
Scroll down.
Yamhill.
That bright pink out there past the railroad tracks.
That's the industrial.
That's called it.
Yeah. Just take a second.
Light industrial zone.
Okay.
Okay, come on.
That's out there where Fruit Hill is.
Right there?
What?
That's out there where Fruit Hill is.
Yeah, got
well,
that.
Well, and all the field, you know, and Van Dyke's
fields. And the Van Dyke fields, yeah.
Okay.
My question is, where does this thing apply?
Yeah.
Where do we want it to apply?
I'm looking for sign.
I thought it would be going in the pink and the purple areas and nowhere else. So,
well, that was my comment to Shay at the last planning commission meeting.
Shay, what are you thinking here?
So if C3, which is, you know, general commercial is our business district and we don't allow signs there, the only two signs that apply to this are there.
What are you thinking, Liam? Does this make sense to you?
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense to me.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure it does to me either.
Okay, I got you.
Just a second, Walt. We're hearing from Liam.
Okay. Sorry.
No, I'm a little confused about it myself.
Okay, great. Well, hopefully we'll get some light here. Go ahead, Walt.
Okay,
again, sorry for the interruption. Under your central business district is an overlay zone. It is found in chapter 10.46 of your code. It is defined as follows. The central business district shall be defined as all general commercial C3 zone property south of Azalea. So that begs an interesting question because you do allow it in other zones.
Top of the pink.
Yep. That should be
put your cursor on there.
Yeah.
everybody can see it. Okay, sorry, Walt, go ahead.
Okay, the other thing under signs, under again, 10.46, this is 060, it says prohibited sign types in the central business district. Signs extending above the roof line, balloon or tethered signs, blinking or flashing lights, electronic message signs, and freestanding signs shall be prohibited.
Well, let me ask that the simple question again. Where would this ordinance, where would these electronic message center signs be allowed?
Well, it would appear there is a small little piece of C3 zoning at the north end. It would be allowed.
That's the gas station.
Okay. It would be there. It would also be within your industrial zones, and it would also be within your any public zones. And this was, boy, I you know, hate to throw the monkey wrench in this, but I just, you know, going through a word check, I just stumbled across this when I was writing the staff report to make sure that there was no other areas within the code that talk about this. And lo and behold, it is within your central business district. Now, it says south of Azalea, and frankly, that looks like it includes all the C3 zoning within the city, except for the gas station at the north end. And this begs the question then.
Does that make sense to you, Walt? And I want to ask the commissioners, what makes sense to you? But let you go first, Walt, with where do you see the signs below?
Well, I tell you, I think what's happened, it's going to be very, very limited and effectively limited to your new industrial area and or employment area. And it's also going to be limited to wherever you have a public facility zone. So you really have, let's see, I'm just kind of going through my map here. That is about it. And except for the gas station, that's about the extent of it. Now, bear in mind, when you put code language together, that doesn't mean you won't be looking at rezoning down the road for some of these properties. And there might be an area that you may want to reconsider. The other thing too is that you can always modify the central business district, but I'm not sure that's really to your advantage at this point. So in reality, you have a very limited, this is going to be limited to public facilities and industrial and the one commercial spot on the north end of town. Your sign code is very clear that this type of a sign would not be allowed downtown.
All right, now I think we understand that. Sue, does that make sense to you? You have any comments?
Yeah. You know, we've got it in, what's the yellow zone called?
The yellow is residential.
Residential. So we got it in the residential.
We don't allow them there.
But it's at the school.
That's a public zone. It's a little different. I don't see it as a different color there.
I don't see it as a different color is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, we don't have our public school, our public zones as a different color. So that doesn't help us see.
I see. Okay.
And then got it. The pink business at the north end of town, because it's not in the central, can do it, but the other guys can't, and they're commercial.
I'm hearing that. All right.
I'm just saying, I think it's an open liability.
Oh, an open liability, like the businesses downtown may go, what about us? You allow this guy down here to do it. Okay. Well, let's get some more input from Shay. What are you thinking?
I don't. It doesn't make sense to me why the high school would still be considered single family residential. That's kind of what's throwing a wrench, because they have a sign there.
Mm-hmm.
The business district, I mean, if you leave the fire department's situation out, I mean, that falls into the area that's prohibited. I don't think too many people would probably have an issue with having one of those signs in the light industrial area. Walt, let me ask you this. Would most cities delineate the high school single family residential, or would it have its own zone?
Well, actually, I think you raise a good point there. It depends. Boy, that doesn't that sound like a politician. Cities can go both ways on this. You can have a residential zone, but you identify other uses that are not residential in nature, but might be permitted through a conditional use process. And I think Dayton is like that, if I recall. Other places establish a public zone. And in some cases, I've run into issues where once the public zone is established, when the use is, you know, torn down or whatnot, you're now left with a vacant public zone lot that has very little options for development unless it's publicly related. You do have the school on the north end, zoned R2, but it has the public facility overlay. And then you also have the park on the south end. And that also has the public facility overlay. So that's about the extent of what would be allowed. And again, I think from the standpoint of government-related buildings or uses, or you know, public uses, I think these signs make some sense. By the same token, I'm really hesitant to suggest that you look at your downtown as an area that you may want to sort of put these signs in. I think there was a clear indication from the Central Business District overlay that this is a walkable, very attractive downtown, and it is. And these signs just are not consistent with what you have downtown. And that was raised last month as well. Kind of an interesting side note.
All right. Lynn, did you have some thoughts on about where this ordinance would apply? What makes sense to you, or do you think it's fine the way it is?
No, I think I'm clear on it now. Not being here last month kind of puts me a little bit behind here, but I'm not sure. You know, I like the idea of one commercial property being allowed when the rest of them are not. That would be my only concern.
That seems to be what's up, Walt. That and maybe you need to write some language into this that the overlay of public, what's the word? Public facilities. Public
facilities?
Yeah, public facilities are allowed. So those two issues, maybe you could address. First of all, what about this concern that two of the commissioners have that we're allowing only one business, basically an existing business in town, to have a sign, electronic sign? You're muted.
Mind if I spoke really quick on that?
Yeah, while he's muted, go ahead.
Yeah. So if I remember correctly, the gas station, there's an exemption in the code for a gas station and for a reader board. So if another gas station were to go in, say, for example, the one that's proposed across from City Hall, they would still be able to put in a very similar sign to that's at Shell, even though they're in the core business district, because I believe it referred to theater marquees and gas station and repair facility signs.
Okay, I think this you're onto something, but that section is about reader boards, which are things you can move the letters off and on, not electronic message centers. But maybe we can use what you just said to make it, it's a gas station, they get an electronic message center.
Or the other thing we could do is we could amend what we said about what is in current code about south of Azalea to include all business districts, which would then include the Shell, and they couldn't put a more advanced sign in other than a typical gas station sign. And that would also keep everything fair, leaving it, the electronic reader boards just to public facilities.
So, Walt, I'm seeing some leaning toward excluding the gas station.
Well, You know, if there ever was, you know, I see these signs more on larger shopping centers than downtowns. And a gas station would be a sort of logical place. However, you're right. We already have provisions. I think just make a note on these provisions that accepting service stations, and they are subject to the requirements that are already in the language here. I guess let me ask the Planning Commission this question. Is there an interest in just allowing these in the central business district, or is there a desire to sort of keep things as is?
Let's take a poll there, Sue.
I think that it's really difficult because I guess you can come in at any time and change this because you know, as a business owner, I just believe in equality for what's good for one is what good for the other. But I also, I love this traditional downtown, but I also know that there's a lot of people that would love to see some refreshing of our town.
What would that be? What do you have in mind when you say that?
I'm just thinking to freshen up the look of the town.
Is that with signs, with electronic signs, or without?
No, I'm just saying period.
Oh, period.
And
okay.
So, you know, when that happens, and I brought this up last meeting, I just really see those narrow windows in P&E as being the type of place where you would see a sign saying, you know, espresso, $2.99 special, you know, sirloin steak, $7.99 a pound, blah, 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 blah. I can just see that and not thinking anything about it and going ahead and ordering it, having it put in there, and then they'd be in violation of this code. I don't know if there would be an actual thing I could think of right now, but Larson House is a really they're pro growth. They're pro moving this town into getting some people to come to this town rather than just being
that?
A bedroom. Larson House.
Larson House.
Yes, and I can see that they would possibly have. The reason to have some kind of a sign, or they've been having events in their backyard. I mean, I don't know what, but I'm just saying you don't want to limit the growth of a downtown that's been stagnant for a long, long time.
You think limiting electronic message centers may be limiting that growth?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, you know, maybe it's time to involve some of the business, the downtown business people, if you're saying that they're not going to have them, then maybe we need to approach the Downtown Business Association to attend and give us input
as to whether that's a big punch in the eye for them or not.
Before you curtail anything that they, because I don't know what they're doing. I don't know. Maybe you do.
No, I don't. But right now, they can't have them at all, so the issue isn't up for them. And we kind of want to know, are they wanting them, is maybe your question.
I'm just saying, if you're spending all the time and energy to make a code that you're going to present to the council for passing for the city, I think the avenues need to be opened up to be looking at these kind of things. And I don't see that. And if you're making a decision based on, if you were affecting my business, I'd be wanting to know about it, you know, as a business owner. I don't know. Maybe I'm speaking out the side of my mouth, but you know.
I'm making sense to me. Let's see. We started with Sue on the question of what about this situation with limiting downtown. I guess that's the question on the table. What do you think, Lynn, about not allowing electric message centers signs downtown in the business district? Does that make sense to you or not?
Well, I like, if we're moving forward, you know, you can look on your cell phone and get information about how the town's growing. but you can't look on your landline phone and get any information. So technology, in my opinion, is the, you know, driving force in America now. And I like Sue's idea of bringing the business owners in on this and getting their input. At the same time, you know, I don't want to see big giant signs out there. But if you regulated the hours to make it happy for the business owners, maybe it could be a win for everyone. I don't know. It's just my thoughts.
Well, Walt, I'm thinking we've lost Shay.
No, I'm still here.
Oh, good. Sharon, you shrunk it down and it kicked his picture off the screen.
I'm okay with that too. Just know I'm here.
Okay.
Good. Me too.
Yeah, no, but he wasn't there until he spoke. That's why I thought he wasn't there. See, now we've lost Walt. Now Walt, Petra came on, I guess.
They're just out of view. Petra came on as a panelist. So
okay. I apologize. Yeah. Let's see, Shay, what do you think about, well, on the table now, we've morphed the question a little bit from, what do you think about electric message centers downtown to what do you think about asking businesses about electric message centers, signs, and seeing what they come back to us with?
Well, now, I mean, I have, yeah, so do we have any business owners that are here today, Sharon?
No,
I don't believe so.
None are raising their hand here.
Yeah.
We've got two folks, but no.
I mean, so my initial thought on that is that, I mean, these are meetings are advertised every week.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of local business people asking for signs, and we have been discussing signs for the better part of a year. I'm not saying that it's not a great idea to reach out to them directly, though. But as things stand now, I have a question for Walt with the conditional use aspect that you put into the attachment A. Would, if the T&E wanted to put up a sign for espresso, and would that fall under the conditional use? Would that be a variance then in the downtown district if they were to obtain a conditional use permit from the city?
Yes, they would be looking at a variance to the standard that says this sign is prohibited. So now they want to have a sign that would come in. And then they would go through the conditional use process for approving the sign. So yeah, you're right. I mean, the simple way to correct this would be to strike that out of the central business district overlay. However, I'm really curious how many business owners realize electronic message signs are not allowed at their business. I'm just kind of curious about that.
Yeah.
Well, so say I get a clipboard and walk down the street here and talk to folks. Is that something the planning commissioner does?
I will be honest that this is a legislative matter, and I think that would be a great thing to do. Because you might get a free coffee along the way. But as a legislative matter, you're welcome to talk to the public inside or outside a meeting.
Great. Well, let's get some people together, and we'll maybe settle that outside of this by email, who and when and who wants to do that.
I think ultimately that would probably be a wise thing to do because, again, I don't think a lot of downtown business owners realize this prohibition and may have been thinking about purchasing signs that they could start installing. And I think having some input from the business community would be very helpful, not only for you folks, but also to make sure that it's sellable to the city council.
Agree.
Yeah, some business owners may have the sense that, hey, they're ugly and it wouldn't be good for the town. They may think that too.
Yep.
Case in point, the gas station has an electronic message center sign. It's this big by this big, and it flashes and twirls. It's ugly as you know what.
Okay.
And they're out of code. And are we going to, I mean, just drive by on your way home and take a look at that thing. Just to give a perspective on what could be landing right in the middle of town. But it, now it breaks all the rules of, it changes way more than 15 seconds. It's got stars spinning and all kinds of things happening. But anyway, they're going to get some bad news one way, I think, no matter what, as far as enforcement goes, that little sign there on the gas station. All right.
Hear more. I know it's not parliamentary, but I would like a chance to speak as to what I spoke at the last Planning Commission meeting with Shay.
Well, you know, I wanted to give you a public comment before, and then there's public comment after. And there's really not room for public comment during, okay, is my understanding. Is that right? Am I right or wrong, Walt?
Public comment is welcome here for this particular case only. So if there's anyone who wants to provide comment on the proposed sign regulations, fine. But if they're looking at some other matter not related to signs, this is not the time and place.
Okay, no, this is on the sign. So I'm great. I'm learning
how to. Oh, okay, good.
So, yeah, I'm going to, would you state your name and address?
Yeah, my name is Robert Davis. I represent Yam Hill Neighborhood Association, its members, and a lot of the residents within the city. And at the 316, March 16th Planning Commission meeting, what was asked of Shay Corrigan at the Planning Commission meeting, first of all, we'd like to know, why is this even come before the commission? As our small, older town with 1,200 residents community and not a Florida HOA with so other many rules other than the fire department sign. So with that said, and I know that isn't real clear, but let me read a couple of the instances that I read to Shay. Oregon City prohibits this kind of sign, EMCs and LED signs. This type of sign is not allowed under current sign code, but may be permitted through zoning variance. Now, that just says it all right there. You don't have to pass a code if you see no need to, and if it doesn't do the city any good. If they want a sign, then let them go with a zoning variance. Oregon State prohibits signs. Section of the Oregon Motorist Information Act generally prohibits signs along state highways. You know, we have two highways that go through our town. The city of Lebanon prohibits these types of signs, but only through a zoning variance. So I guess in a nutshell, what YNA figures is, if it ain't broke, don't try and fix it. So by taking the recommendation of Walt's and Section 5 Planning Commission Action, Paragraph 3, recommend City Council reject proposed amendments contained in Attachment A, establishing findings as to why the applicant fails to comply with the decision criteria. So what I'm saying is, leave everything the way it is and just go with a zoning variance if a company or a business wants to put in this type of sign. Then it can be decided on a case-by-case basis under rules that are fair for everyone. And you don't have to make it across the board. You don't have to make codes that are kind of ambiguous where it works for one person, doesn't work for another. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. Well, this brings up the question that Shay put forward earlier. Why not just have it be a variance for the downtown? And you said, yeah, that's possible. It seems that, and then all the signs are conditional use. So all of them will be conditional use, but then there's an extra hurdle of getting a variance if you're outside of the ordinance as written. So that, is that am I thinking of that right? Like just kind of an extra hurdle to get past, to get a variance?
Well, what you let me see. I want to make sure I'm on. Okay. What you would probably do is establish the standards conditional use for everything else, and then make a note that in addition to the conditional use, a variance would need to be approved for the downtown. And in fact, interesting, you could write specific language for the sign variance. And that instead of having this enormous hurdle, you would have at least some reasonable guidelines in which to judge whether or not that sign is acceptable in the downtown. And the process, the applicant, oh, I'm going to keep it a small size, or it might only be in the window, or it's only going to be this type of a sign. So you have the variance that says we generally don't like these, but we might consider it. And you have the conditional use, which sort of lays out the public hearing process along with the variance. It's cumbersome, but I think it's doable.
Are you thinking those guidelines would be different in the downtown area than the ordinance that we have before us?
Well, let me look at the section on signs very quickly. I don't think they would be that much different. I just want to look at your sign code quickly here. I don't think they would be that much different. In fact, no, they wouldn't. Give everyone the same, in fact, that was brought up earlier. We all play by the same rules, and show us why while we would prefer not to see them downtown, please show us why this would be good for the city. And I think that's kind of a reasonable way of doing it.
All right.
Yeah. Keep it the same way. And I'm just, here we go, sign regulations. Yeah, I would do it that way. In fact, you do not have a specific set of variance criteria for signs within your code. And that's something that is, I've done it in a couple of other places. And they really talk about things that the sign's not going to block other signs, is not going to distract, you know, traffic, things such as you're not going to get an advertising advantage, a few other things that tries to recognize that these are unusual signs, but this is a way to sort of level the playing field. I think it can be done. Again, cumbersome, but I think that helps you preserve your downtown, while at the same token, go ahead and see if there's some reasonable way to accommodate these signs. And taking it one step further, if after a while it just doesn't work and it's not going where you want to go, you could always change the code.
All right, I see a way forward there. I hope you all follow that. With one change, make, instead of saying the Central Business District, say, whatever that pink is called, was it C1?
C3.
Just say they're prohibited in C3. That includes the gas station.
Oh, very good.
All right. But I don't think we should pass this until we do what we said we thought was a good idea, and that's go talk to businesses and get some intelligence. I don't know what it's going to help us solve, but we don't know what we're going to hear yet. So I think
may I suggest that, you know, probably do it reasonably quick. It won't take me a long time to come up with other language, new language, but I mean, the variant stuff is going to be very simple, but if you can get that other information to me, it would really help with the staff report. And so, you know, at least a week or so before the June meeting would be great. And I can incorporate all that. That would be good. I think this is, again, cumbersome, but I think it's a reasonable solution that gives business owners an opportunity to do something. It also has definite public interest in making sure that it sort of meets the needs of the community as well.
All right, let's clear the air of what's bouncing around inside the commissioner's heads. Shay, you got anything on your mind?
I think you're on the right track. Let's, I like where we're going with that, but let's ask the business owners first and see if somebody's got a, you know, an opinion that would change things.
Okay. Lynn, I see a nod in your head. You good with that?
Yep. Yeah, I agree with him totally.
I think that's it.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
Okay. I have a couple more questions. And that is the reader board part of our ordinance, that they're prohibited except gas stations and theaters. And by reader board, we just mean those signs where you can change the letters by hand, right?
Right.
Okay. We've got one right in front
exactly.
We've got one in front of the coffee place down here. It's a sandwich sign that sits out in front. Where does that fall in the ordinances?
Okay, hold on here. You have a provision. Okay, let me go back to... Now, let me see if there's, first of all, let's look at Central Business District. It doesn't say square footage. Okay. I'm sort of thinking out loud here, so just kind of bear with me. Portable signs shall be exempt from the downtown. In other words, you may have them as long as they do not exceed 16 square feet in area on all sides. So if you have your sandwich board sign, you're allowed up to 16 square feet in area. And that is allowed there. I'm sure it's probably within your public works code or something. But there's no mention in terms of location on the sidewalk, but the sign would be allowed.
All right. Thank you. Now, what about fixed painted signs, you know, like in front of the Mormon church and the Catholic church? How do those fall into our ordinance?
A sign is a sign. You measure it by the type, sort of like the surrounding typeface. If it's, let me see, if it's painted on there, you just kind of do a parallelogram around the sign to cover the sign area. If you're looking at sort of consider that painted area similar to a structure, and that's how it's calculated.
Okay, well that answers my questions. So we kind of like the ordinance the way it is, except for instead of saying downtown business district, we're going to say C3. That seemed to cure a lot of problems.
Okay.
But before we go ahead, we want to talk to the businesses. And one more thing. The public facilities area, that allows the schools. Have you got a way to straighten that out in the language, or is it already there?
Well, it's there under PF. You have it as an overlay zone, and as long as we know where it's at, we're fine. I might clarify that a little bit, but I think we're in the ballpark with that.
Okay. Can you point to where I see hours of operation says except for public related buildings, but I don't know if we have a public facilities language in here, zone.
Let's see.
But you don't...
Yes, we do. We have a public facility zone, chapter 10.36. It may be appropriate sometime in the future to look at these pieces of property. Again, there's pluses and minuses, but look at these properties and maybe give them a public facility zone, because it allows a lot of uses outright without having to go through a lot of, shall we say, I hate to use the word red tape, but, you know, a lot of process, if you will. And we may want to think about doing it, but we do have them marked off as specific areas, the park and the school. So I think we're covered there.
And how will you reference that in our electronic messaging center sign ordinance?
I would probably do note that public facility zone or those areas referenced as public facilities on the zoning map.
Okay. All right. So you'll work on that language.
Yes, sir.
Good. So, are we settled?
Well, allowing an additional hour before and after operations seems appropriate. You know, my appropriate, your appropriate, and his appropriate might be different things.
Let's kick that around. What do you think?
Well,
I'm just
thinking of the fact that there are residents around that electronic sign, and for it's reasonable to say, I mean, maybe the protocol has always been for us that are older that you don't call people after a certain time at night. You know, kids will call each other at any time of the day or night. But if you're going to bed and at midnight and that sign's still on, is that inappropriate? And so my appropriate and their appropriate can be different. I think it really needs to have a time.
I think I could address that. I think it would be pretty straightforward that through this process, the Planning Commission has authority as part of conditions of approval to limit the hours.
Now, just a minute, Sue. It seemed that last time you were concerned for businesses, and maybe it wasn't you. There was a concern that businesses be roped into some hours we set, and somebody suggested, well, wouldn't it be nice for the business if they could at least leave it on while they're open? So we're kind of caught between those two.
Like the Shell station.
So would you be more satisfied with just hours of operation? Even if they close at midnight, it would still be on. Or are you more for 9 to 6?
I don't know. Just saying that I think appropriate is a nebulous.
Well, that language was in his discussion. It was not in the ordinance.
Yeah. But that's what's written right here on 9, paragraph 2, page 4.
I think that it's in italics. That's not part of it. Is that a discussion point where you say in 9, paragraph 9?
Yes. Yes, wherever you see italics, it was just the
commentary.
Yeah, I'm just sort of discussing the proposal, that's all.
So that's not in the ordinance?
No, it is not.
The ordinance up in the paragraph above does say hour before, hour after. Well, let's kick that around again. Sue, do you have anything more to say on what you think it should be?
Well, I'm just saying. And I know, like, for instance, the school, all week long, it's just not a big thing. But Friday night is the football game. The lights are going to be on it. And everybody knows that the lights are going to be on it 10 o'clock at night. That's not a big deal. But there's a difference between that on and 7 days a week. The fire station sign being on till 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night. And so I just think that there needs to be some kind of a time.
Okay, well, we already have in that paragraph 9 there, it says except for public related buildings like the fire station and the school, they don't have to shut theirs off. That's the way the ordinance is written. But then businesses would, and I think, are you okay with that schools and public related buildings can leave their sign on 24 hours?
As long as are we going to be able to go back and say for sure that we're going to be able to dim the fire station?
No, that's kind of a point I want to bring up before we're done tonight.
Okay.
But we're going to try to, that's a backdoor thing that we may be able to work out. And I'll just leave it at that because I have some ideas in a minute. I'm talking about signs that have been permitted and are under all these ordinances. And what do you think about exempting the shutoffs to schools and fire stations and police stations?
It's a real fine line in a little town like
okay.
this.
Okay. Any thoughts on that, Lynn? Just on hours of operation in general?
No. I mean, I can see all sides of it here.
Yeah.
I think an hour before, an hour after, but then you do have other businesses that do stay open later. So that, you know, I really don't know how to address that.
Shay, any thoughts?
Yeah, so leaving the fire department sign out of that, because you said you had some things for that later. But just moving forward with new signs, I agree with Sue that it's important to have an even playing field. But it does make sense to me that an hour before you're open, an hour after you close, and if you did include it into the public facilities, you know, the high school could have, you know, a reasonable expectation that they could have theirs on, obviously, for the football games or the soccer games or whatever they had coming up. And maybe there would even be a reason to have it on till 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock in front, so that when people are coming back and forth from work and such, they can see what the upcoming events at the school might be. I don't know that it would have to be hard. I mean, because if you think about it by technicality, the high school closes by what, 4 or 5 o'clock at night by the time the last extracurriculars are over? Would they then have to turn their sign off specifically?
All right. Well, I'm going to ask, if this ordinance was put to a vote the way it reads, except for public related buildings like schools, police stations, and similar facilities, static and alternating EMC signs shall be limited to hours of business operation plus 1 hour before and 1 hour after. Would you vote for that or against it? And if you vote against it, how would you change it? That's my question.
Yeah, so I think as that stands for just the businesses, I think that's absolutely fantastic and we would vote for it in a heartbeat. I think that we need to look at more carefully schools, police, fire, public facilities on reasons why maybe they would need it on all night. I'm thinking to the residents that would be right around the high school or right around, say, if City Hall wanted to put one up. Would it be necessary to be 24/7? Or can we... that for an emergency situation, they could have it on.
All right. Let me see if I can limit our discussion. Lynn, are you good with leaving the public facilities out? Are you good with hours of operation 1 hour before, 1 hour after the business?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Sue? Okay, great. Now we've got that one settled for businesses. Let's go back to the public facilities. And Shay has brought up, Walt, why give them a blank check when maybe we don't want to give it to them?
My thinking was emergency issues and also the fact that, you know, you sometimes come in late to town after working elsewhere, and it's probably nice to see what the school is doing. I'm just thinking sort of like public interest. There's nothing wrong with limiting through the conditional use process. Again, hours of operation can be decided through the conditional use process, and a school or other public facility can make the argument that we need to have it up at until midnight or whatever, and the commission can say that's not going to work with the neighborhood and just put some reasonable hours on there. I think that also gives you a little discretion, because it's awful hard to figure out every potentiality. And so I think allowing you that discretion, I think would certainly help out. I understand what everyone is saying, though. You don't want to have bright lights going 24/7. I think a reasonable time, you know, like maybe 7 or 8 o'clock at night, or 7, might be doable. I'd have to put a little more thought into that, but I think it's okay to do. I mean, that's fine.
Let's think about some hours then, Shay, for like you say, a sign at City Hall, or say the middle school wanted to put in a sign.
Sure.
And, you know, it's going to have some neighbors. Do you have some suggestions for hours of operation for them?
I mean, I think that it would be reasonable. Now, I mean, it's just tough, right? Because in July, when, you know, the sun goes down at 9:45, it's a little different than when it goes down at 4:30 in the winter. If I was a neighbor directly across the street, that's a tough one, Ken. I got to be honest with you.
Well, you know, we have the protection that these new signs will have to be dimmed according to the ambient light. So it won't be rude, but it will be a distraction. Any idea about that, Lynn?
Nope, not on this one.
All right, Sue.
Yeah, I definitely think it needs to be somewhere 7 to 9 o'clock at night.
Okay.
That it's,
you know, Carol Pendergrass said, you know, my wish would just be that sign went off at 9 o'clock. And I'm working toward that. That's going to come next. But 9 o'clock and on at 6.
Well, here, so I'd have a question for you then. Something like that, but can you throw a caveat? I'm thinking, what if we had a championship game going on at a high school that lasted till 10? For public facilities, if they're having a special event, could there be a caveat in that, that the school signs, for example, have to go off by, you said, 9 o'clock maybe, unless they're actively having an event at the school?
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Yeah, I like that. That's kind of hours of operation. Wallet, you're muted.
I think that is a very good way of doing it. In fact, look at City Hall, Planning Commission meeting at 7 o'clock, and you may want to just keep the thing going until the commission meeting is over. So I think that's a reasonable exemption.
Okay.
Absolutely. In fact, yeah, it just brings up to mind other ways to tweak that. Real good.
So, Shay, were you thinking 9 o'clock might be a good one to allow the public facility signs to stay on unless they have a special event and they're still open?
I think that seems reasonable. I'm thinking around town and there's not much that's happening that late. I think it's a reasonable time.
Great. Lynn, does that sound good to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Great. Well, there's a little bit of nuance to put in there. I think we're doing some good here. Now I'm ready to bring up the fire station and my question and idea. And that is, you wrote a couple of options for us, what to do with the fire station. And one was to let's see. We had two choices. Where is that in your, oh, here it is, I found it. The city adopts specific regulations allowing the existing sign, or the city adopts the current language following electronic message signs and the district is granted a sign variance. I'm not sure how this falls in between those two choices, but I think I've thrown this at you before, but I have a little bit of a better idea that we allow the size, we'll give them a variance for the size, but we want them to comply with everything else in the code, meaning hours of operation. The one thing that I'm worried about is brightness. They don't necessarily, maybe they have the equipment in that sign to dim it according to ambient light, maybe they don't. So we may have to give a variance to that as well. But can we offer them a variance if they comply to everything else in the code, like hours of operation and how often it can change, that sort of thing, has to be 15 seconds, because I drove by tonight and there was moving pictures on it. Can we somehow offer them that carrot that your size is fine, you're legal now, but if you're gonna accept, you know, would you apply for a variance so that you follow the rest of the ordinance?
We could do it in a manner that says pre-existing signs must conform to the requirements of operation. In other words, you're basically giving them a pass on the size, but depending what else I put in there, for example, on conditional use and variance and whatnot, because there's a bunch of moving parts here now, you could simply say the pre-existing signs allowed, again, I'm thinking off the top of my head, they would have to come in for just call it a variance or maybe the conditional use, because you're effectively allowing the sign as being appropriate. However, they must apply for a conditional use, and through that process, I'm thinking conditional use or variance, I'd have to put a little more thought in that, but yeah. Make some sort of application process that you say, okay, this sign is fine. Now you have to comply with these provisions or you're in violation. And it sort of gets that off the front burner, but it also makes it clear that they have to follow the same rules like everyone else. That could be done. I would want to craft the language carefully, but yes, it could be done.
All right. If you would tackle that, Gorilla, and maybe call in some of your call a friend on that too.
Holy moly. Okay. Yes. This is very interesting. There's a lot of moving parts here, but I think I want to provide a reasonable amount of discretion for the Planning Commission and also allow those who see fit that these signs might be appropriate have a reasonable way to get variance approval.
If you can lead us into this, well, we will have a place in history.
Well, make sure that they're able to do these things
right
before
right.
he spends the time.
Right. Okay. My suggestion then at this point, I think we have a direction. Would it be possible then to just continue this hearing to June? I know we're continuing, but we're also making some very significant progress. And then let's meet back again in June, and I will have the shot at this, maybe making history or just disappearing. I don't know, one or the other.
All right. Well, that sounds good. We've got our homework to talk to businesses. And
who's going to talk to the fire department about what that sign can do?
What the sign can do. Who's going to talk to the fire department about what the sign can do?
I will volunteer to go speak with Chief.
Shay, you're awesome.
I've got my moments.
Thank you. Now, let's just talk for a minute about getting together. Lynn, do you have any, do you want to join me and whoever else to go talk to businesses or not?
You'd have a quorum if you have.
Go.
It might be a little rough for me right now.
Not a problem. You know why? It's okay that you said no, okay. Because Sharon's warning us not to have a quorum.
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
So it only could be...
I forgot about that, too.
It could only be
two people.
I believe so. Are you hearing that, Walt?
Right. You could only have two people doing that. Otherwise, you have a quorum and that... And you're going to violate public meeting law.
Now, it doesn't have to be me. Shay, you may know more of those people. Sue and Shay, if they did, I mean, Sue and Shay is fine with me. Shay, are you in? You want to be in?
I'm looking at the C3 district. I mean, I actually live a block out of it. It would take me no time to go through and do a lot of that. I know most of those business owners.
You want to join with him, Sue?
I mean, just so it gets done. I mean, I'll volunteer or I'll be more than glad for you two to do it. So.
Would you two talk to each other about when you're going to do it?
Okay.
All right. Well, this is taking a long time, but this is a big issue and I think it matters. And hey, I'm feeling like we're working through some good stuff here. And with your help, Walt, it's just been great. And all of you have great ideas. So it's working. I don't want you to go away feeling like, oh man, we didn't do that again. Well, it's a big job.
And you've certainly made a lot of progress here this evening. I think we're honing in on it right now. That's great.
Okay, well, I'm ready to close this continuance hearing, if that's okay with everybody.
Would it be acceptable if I bow out at the rest of the meeting?
Sure. We're just going to approve minutes and plan the next. Well, when is the next meeting, Sharon?
June
15th.
Okay, we're good. Okay, I want to thank. Hey, everyone, have a wonderful evening. I appreciate your patience, but I also appreciate your confidence. So thank you again, and have a wonderful evening.
All right, you too, Will. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Did they have to do a motion to continue the public hearing?
Yes, they agreed to the continuation, but I think just to make it following the record, I think that would be, doesn't have to be anything, but yes, a vote, definitely a vote.
Okay, thanks, Walt.
Okay, Walt, take care.
I'll entertain a motion to continue this continuance of the public hearing.
To June
15th. To June
15th. I make a motion.
Sue moves that, is there a second?
I'll second, Corrigan.
Thank you. All in favor, raise your hand. All right, thank you, that's unanimous. So now we'll close that, continuous the public hearing meeting. We already asked for public comment and not hearing any before. I'm gonna assume nothing's come up. Let's approve the minutes of January 26th. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
I will make a motion to approve the minutes from January 26th.
Thank you, Shay. And a second?
I'll second.
All right, Lynn, thank you. All in favor, please raise your hand. I could have asked for a discussion, but nobody interrupted me. All right, how about a motion to approve the Planning Commission minutes of April 20th, 1922.
So I have a question on that right quick.
Yes.
Since I wasn't there, what would be appropriate? Because I really don't know what happened at the meeting. So should I just not vote on this one then? Or how do you want to do that?
Oh, I think you could abstain if you wanted to, Lynn.
Okay.
Okay, great. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Shay. Any more discussion on that? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Any abstentions? There we go. Lynn is abstention, none opposed.
This one and the other one, all the rest were all ayes.
That's right.
And nobody abstained from the
chair. That's right. Thank you. I should have said that. Okay. Well, we're down to commissioner comments and discussion. Any comments or discussion?
I have a couple of questions.
Sue.
So I went back and looked. And in 2018, there was 5 planning meetings. 2019, there was 5 planning meetings. 2020, there was 4 planning meetings. 2021, there was 6. And I'm not really sure, because it's been a long time since I've been involved with planning. How do all of the subjects come up that are going to be discussed? Is there an agenda for like the next 6 months or the next year, or is there anything like that that's laid out? Is there any way of knowing if there's something important that we need to be thinking about? And one of the reasons that I said something about some of the stuff that I brought in is that, you know, we're paying a planner to do all this research and write all this stuff up. And if we don't do it, not that we're anybody's perfect, but if we don't do it and it comes right back to us and then we got to go back to him again, I mean, it's a waste of our time, a waste of dollars that we're paying a planner, and it makes the city just run around in circles. And I know that the staff is really, really limited on their, the staff time that's available. So I'm just curious how this works.
Right. So my experience has been that there is not a larger agenda, except that we have always on the table some things like urban growth boundary. There might be some rezoning issues that are still ahead of us. I think there's some updating of our code. Those are kind of there, but oftentimes there's no more compelling reason than those kind of underlying things to have a meeting, and so we don't. But oftentimes somebody will apply for a variance, and that'll trigger a meeting. We've been going, we might not have had a meeting tonight if it wasn't for this continuance. We would have just skipped it. So does that help answer your question?
Yeah, I'm like I said, 5546, and then we would have had one in January, mm-hmm. except for all of the Zoom issues and whatnot. But right. So basically, we've at least had four meetings this, and we're going to have five, and already,
right.
It will be halfway through the year. So I'm just wondering.
I want to acknowledge that the sign ordinance, the way it's going, it's going to be expensive with his time. I agree. I don't think we're being, with our level of understanding, I think we're doing the best we can.
Oh, I know. Yeah. No, I get that. No, okay. I'm just saying, is there anything that we need to be considering or thinking about, or, you know, and you're saying that there was two or three things, so.
And I think Sharon's a good one to maybe ask that broader question of how do we decide when we're going to have a planning meeting, and what is out in front of us that I haven't mentioned when I mentioned a couple of them.
We have a development permit submitted, but the plans that they submitted were not, didn't have all the requirements, all the measurements and everything that engineering needed to review. And the first one didn't have the first one was a copy of plans for a different site. And then the second one didn't have all the details. And so we've asked them to provide all the things necessary to process the permit, and they haven't yet. So that building permit is just kind of hanging out there. So potentially that's out there. I've only been doing these for a short period of time. I'm not sure. Does the Planning Commission request from the City Council if they have anything else they want them to deliberate or work on? I'm not sure. So
for a while, we did get real interested in expanding the urban growth boundary. And we said, this is what we want to do. And our planner spent a lot of time on it. That's kind of gone somewhat by the wayside with COVID and with the change in our planners. And that could be resurrected. I think I asked one of these times, remember last time Walt said, boy, I'll see you in 6 months. You've given me so much to do. And that may be one of the things we threw at him last time, I forget. But I think we should ask him, what's going on with the urban growth boundary? Are we really complying with the state law that we have enough area designated for growth for the next 20 years? How's that going? And that may be something that gets us back into a every month meeting again while we work through that one. Okay.
Yeah, I was just...
Okay, good question. How does it work? And that's my understanding. All right, well, that's it. I'm raising the gavel unless anybody stops me. All right, we're adjourned.
Good night.
Been a pleasure. Good to see you, Lynn.
Oh, Shay.
Yes.
Good seeing you.
If you have a pen and paper, I'll just rattle up.
That one in my hand.
All right, 503.
Shay, or do you want to announce it over on the report?
I mean, people know where I live. I don't care if they call me.
Okay. just checking.
503.
Yeah, no, thank you for looking out, Sharon. I do appreciate that, though.
No
yeah, 956-9525.
Okay, I'll give you a call.
Awesome.
What hours do you work?
24s. I'm always doing something. Call whenever you want. You can't upset. Okay. Worst thing I can do is, you know, call you back when I can.
Okay.
Thank you for this, Sharon. Uh-huh. I'm going to put that right in here, and I'm going to leave this with you to.
Do you want
to
keep the packets in there, or do you want me to remove
then
just have the?
You can remove the old ones. Okay. Yeah, and this really works for me. I read it at home on my phone, and when it's here on paper, it's just great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything else from any
of the other commissioners? All good? Okay, I'm
going to
go ahead and end the webinar if everybody's good.
Hey, Doug. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Bye, Lynn.
See you later.
See you.
Take care.
I'm hoping to be there next month.
Me too.
Looks like he's got a black light painting.